Talking with the G's, where we explore the unseen world of music, life, and culture. I am your host, David G.
And I am Danielle G. Today's show is being sponsored by Wart's Cleaning Service. Wart's Cleaning Service is dedicated to detail, and their hands-on approach and training of their employees reassures that every job is executed with quality and care. If you're located in the Washington, D.C. area, give them a call today. Area code 443-866-1746.
We want to welcome Man Gugu to the show. How are you today?
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. We are very excited to have you with us today. Can you please tell us about your name, Man Gugu?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me, and I hope your day is going well, and thanks a lot for having me on your show. Now, as far as where the name Man Gugu comes from, it actually started out as just a joke. As you know, sounds already kind of funny, you know, man, goo goo, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, everybody's heard of Lady Gaga, of course.
Yes.
So, man, goo goo, you know, kind of put that together and kind of like a joke. I was just on the phone with my friend. It was the summer of 2010. And we were just joking around, and Lady Gaga at the time, and you couldn't even turn on the radio or the television without hearing her name, you know, a couple of summers ago. But anyway, so I was just joking around and telling him that, telling my friend Chris that I was like Lady Gaga, but I'm like a male Lady Gaga. And I was like a man goo goo. And so, you know, it was just I thought it was pretty funny. And I just kind of went off on it, talking with my friend on the phone. And I said, yeah, man, goo goo, you know, that's my
but
new
it stuck.
Artist name. And, you know, I've got the man goo. Come on, let's goo. Instead, let's go, let's goo. And I just started to come up with these little stupid little sayings and stuff. And basically, that's how it started. And I made a song called the Man Goo Goo theme song.
Oh, wow. And, so Man Goo Goo, yeah. As silly as it started out, it actually stuck.
It stuck. And you know, because at the time, I thought it was really funny. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks it was that funny. But I made a song out of it. That's how funny I thought it was. So it's called the Man Goo Goo theme song. And basically, let me just explain my background a little bit of my background before I was Man Goo Goo. I come from, my musicianship comes from a rock background. I'm a lead guitar player. You can call me a shredder if you want. You know, I'm one of those guys that likes to play lead guitar. But basically, I started to produce music also, and I learned how to use Pro Tools and a program called Reason, and started making electronic beats, more like dance beats and hip-hop type beats, poppy-ish beats. And I was mainly doing it for this girl I was dating and stuff, and, you know, kind of threw me into the mix of making beats. And so I ended up making beats for a few artists actually, and then I've had a bunch of leftover beats that I wasn't doing anything with, and so I took one of those beats and made the Man Goo Goo theme song.
And that's how it started for you.
And that's how it started. I had so much fun doing just that one song for myself as a solo artist. It just continued, and I came up with one album, and that was in. I released my very first album like maybe 4 months after that phone call. You see, I mean, something like that, maybe 5 months. I released that for my first album in like the end of November in 2010. And it's 8 songs. All my albums, I have 5 albums now, 2.5 years later. But anyway, back to my very first album, 8 songs. All my albums have just 8 songs. It's kind of like my method of operation there. And it just kept on going. I kept on making more beats. I just had so much fun with it. And after about 3 albums, let me see. I released 3 albums actually within 6 months of each other, because then that second album came out in February of 2011, and then the third album came out in April of 2011. So I was pumping out a lot of music, and so I kind of just stopped for a second, and I decided to focus on trying on doing some gigs. And if you go to my website, can I plug my website real quick?
Absolutely, plug away.
Yeah, it's www.mangoogoomusic.com. That's MANGOOGOO music.com. MANGOOGOO music. All right.
So you talked about doing gigs.
And that,
for those who don't know, you are huge on the LA club scene. Your music has been defined as electrifying. It has been described as the best thing that's ever happened to club and electric. And we've heard something interesting because we do research and background for anybody that comes on the show. And there is actually a slogan that says peace, love, and goo.
Right.
Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes, it's just another one of those stupid little things that I thought of when I first started, you know, this little thing, peace, love, and goo. Goo means basically just freedom for me. You know, what are you doing? What's your goo? Where are you going? You know, what's going on? You know, what's going on with you? And, you know, basically, I'm just I got a hippie mentality, love, peace, and freedom. I just replaced the freedom with goo. That's all, but, you know, that's what it means, peace, love, and freedom.
Peace, love, and freedom. One of the things that your music is also known for is protest music. And that's kind of different to find in club music. Can you tell us a little bit about what are you protesting? And what are some of the messages that you put out there?
Wow. Basically, the main injustices of, at least in this country, you know, I haven't lived all over the world, so I can't say in this world. There might be some very cool places in this world that I've never visited, but I know in this country, the United States of America, and I haven't been all over the country either, but I live right here in Southern California, and I figure I know enough about what's going on through listening to the news and all that. I keep pretty updated, and I like to, you know what's going on. And I just feel there's a lot of injustice, mainly with the financial issues that our country is having, and there's just too many people at the bottom, not, you know, they're working, you know, 2-3 jobs. No time for family, no time for fun, and just barely scraping by just to make ends meet, while there's just a very small handful of people up top that have enough money to really alleviate and, I think, and make a lot of people's lives a little bit more fun. That's not, you know, I'm not saying, you know, just give people back a little bit of their time so they can spend it how they want, not have to bust their balls all day just to make ends meet, you know?
Oh, we know.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you would know.
Mangoo, I think I read you had a plan to reduce poverty in America. Can you please share your view on that?
Well, you know, I know it's basically a fantasy almost, because it's going to take a lot of changing up top where all the money is at, and I just feel that a lot of the really rich, you know, they have a change of heart, they can share the wealth, and also the government can't, you know, and you can call it socialist or capitalist, you can call it communist, whatever you want, I call it making a lot of people more happy. So, you know, the government can get involved by not taxing the lower income so much or even at all. The middle class, you know, the middle class, they can, you know, not make it higher, you know, keep them where they're at. But now for all the people that are like millionaires and even the multi-millionaires and the billionaires, well, let's take all their money, and not all their money, I mean, they can still be rich, but let's take all their excess money that they really don't need and share it with all the people at the bottom, you know. Forget this trickle down effect. Let's pour it down.
yeah, down, I have that same.
By the time it trickles down, there's nothing down here.
I have that same thought. For example, I think what you're saying is probably the CEO at Walmart. He alone makes more money than every employee put together. So they can pay the CEO to where he can be rich and pay everyone a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have to give the CEO $20 million.
Yeah, you know, something like that, you know, and even, you know, pay people a little better, you know, yeah, pay everybody better, not just people that work at Walmart, you know, pay everybody that work low. Their time is their time too, and their energy, and you know, their life. You know, $10 an hour. I mean, raise the minimum wage. I mean, the minimum wage is like what, $8 an hour? You got to work 3 jobs just to make ends meet. You never sleep because you're working all the time.
Oh, definitely no. I know people that can relate to that.
Yeah.
In some ways, you make fun of pop culture. Has your music ever become controversial due to that?
Well, I don't make fun of pop culture all that much because I like the music, what's going on and stuff. You know, it gets a little excessive and a little bit too much, and then not so much new. You know, everything's starting to sound so much alike. And, but that's only in the music. Now, in the other entertainment industry, like in sports and film, I love it. I mean, I love I don't watch too many film stuff, but, what I do watch, I mean, it's great. And, the sport, I love sports, you know, and the sporting world is doing a great job just keeping people entertained, you know. I feel, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, pop culture, I don't have that much against it. It just, you know, sometimes it gets too excessive. You know, like every song is popping bottles in the club.
Because you brought up sports, David is curious, but he's too scared to ask.
What's that?
Are you a Ravens fan or were you a 49ers fan?
Oh, I'm a Raiders fan. And actually, I was a really hardcore Raiders fan. Like, I love the Raiders, right? Until I actually lived in Oakland for about 4 months. I'm not so sure about it. I like them all. I mean, I like the Raiders, but man, the city is a hard city to live in, and it's pretty rough.
So we're going to listen to one.
I guess I lived in a bad part of town. I mean, there was a gun, and I lived there in the summer of 2010. It's like when I was doing my gigs as Man Guga. That's when I went up north. And did a few gigs up there, and I stayed in Oakland actually for like 4 months. And man, there was a gunfight almost every night. And,
yeah,
pretty crazy town up there. So I'm not that much of I'm not as big of a fan of the city, at least, because man, there's just too much violence. At least where I was at.
So we're gonna play one of your songs right now. It is called Serious.
You're looking like one of those, looking like one of those girls that I see. You're looking like one of those, you're looking like one of those girls on TV. Oh yes, you're beautiful and you're fine and sexy and pretty as hell. I like the way you look and the way you move and the way you smell. If I can just get a little taste, that taste of what you got, it'll make my day 20 degrees more hot. But the thing is, I really don't want you to know where I live, so can we go back to your place? We can go back to mine for some other day, on a better day, in a better way, where we know each other better than. So tell me, is that okay? Okay? You're looking like one of those, looking like one of those girls that I know. You're looking like one of those girls on a TV show. I'd like to take you home, you do, watch a movie, get you drunk, and take you to bed. But I ain't got time to do all that now, so let's get naked right here instead. Cause I can't wait, so hurry up, make it fast, cause I got a bunch of other things to do. But don't worry, baby, cause I'll be right back to take care of you. But the thing is, I really don't want you to fall in love with me, so before we start, gotta make sure you understand and you know. No one. That I do not wanna get serious now. Leave that for someone else and please count me out. Just call me only if you wanna have fun. I'll pick you up and drop you off when we're done.
Today's show is being sponsored by Wart Cleaning Service, the very best in commercial and residential cleaners in the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area. Let us hurt your dirt. Call today. Area code 443-866-1746. Franchise opportunities available. Sorry about that, man. I kind of cut into your song a little bit.
You mean towards the end there where there's like a gap?
Yep. There's a gap.
The silence. Yeah, there's like a gap. I did that on purpose just to like people would think.
Then I walked right into it.
Yeah, and then it just goes right back in. Yeah, it's all good.
But you know what I noticed about your music? You play killer guitar on your tracks.
Thank you. I'm getting better. That was me a couple years ago when I.
We were wondering, do you give lessons or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. I give lessons here in the San Fernando Valley, but you know, I thought about trying to do over online lessons, but I guess I would have to get like Skype, I guess, or something like that, and a camera and all that good stuff going. I'm not too computer savvy as far as that stuff goes. I mean, I can barely put music together, so and that's about all I do with the computer, you know. I don't know how to really get all that other stuff going yet. So, anyways, yeah, I give guitar, but you know, right now guitar lessons is like a luxury item. And so, I don't have that many students at all right now because, you know, the economy is down and everybody's got to watch their budget and, so the first thing everybody cuts out of their budget is luxury items, and guess what's a luxury item? Guitar lessons. Hey, we really don't need that. We need food more. We need guitar lessons. So, sorry, man, Google. Less money for you. So,
so can you tell us about your...
I'll have to wait until the economy gets better, I guess.
I would take lessons from you because I think you're that good. I would take guitar lessons from you.
Nice, thanks. You know, my lessons are pretty good. I have a really nice lesson plan. It'll take you all the way from beginner to advanced, from zero to hero.
Cool.
Music theory, chords, scales, strumming, exercises, all kinds of good stuff. But anyways, I teach here and there, but what I really want to do is play a lot more shows.
A lot more shows. So we're putting it out to the world, and Google is available for gigs, and more gigs.
Exactly. Thank you.
So can you tell us about your beat-making business?
Yeah,
how did you get started?
I do that, too, but, you know, so many people are making beats nowadays, too. And it's so easy for just a person, because they make these great programs now for people that really don't even know how to really play any instruments to make pretty good music, you know, just by learning a program instead. And the program basically makes all the music for you. You just kind of put it, at that point, you're kind of like an arranger, you know. But also, you know, you could be a little bit more involved. But like I say, some of these programs nowadays, you really don't have to be good at any instrument at all. I mean, for sure it helps. But me, I like to do everything organically. Everything you hear in my music, I've done with a mouse click. I clicked every single note in there. And so, yeah, I guess I'm a control freak when it comes to music, I've studied music and I have my music theory background. I get, like, you can hear it in my guitar playing, I guess, you know, so that's something different that I bring to the table, I think, you know, than most beat makers and producers.
Who are some of your influences?
Musically, Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, The Who, Black Sabbath, all of your classic rock stuff there. I just love that stuff. So that's my background. You can hear it in my guitar playing and stuff. And like I said, that's who I was before I was Mangu. I was just a guitar player in a few different bands. And so, but I also like hip-hop and electronic dance music. I do like going to the clubs. Not that much any lately because I burnt myself out. I was going, like, every night for, like, a couple years. So, and, like, almost every night I was going out to the club, you know, and I was in, getting my club scene on and getting my dance on. But kind of got burnt out on that, so not so much of that stuff anymore. I like to make music now instead of just going and listening. Yeah, that was before I learned how to do Pro Tools and Reason and all that good stuff.
You're an interesting guitar player because we read that on your right hand, I believe, you only have your middle finger and your thumb.
My index finger and my thumb.
Your index finger and your thumb.
Yeah, I lost my middle finger, which is kind of a good thing because I can't flip anybody off, and then that keeps me out of trouble. So, and anyways, I'm missing, yeah, my middle finger and my ring finger and my pinky. So, basically, just two fingers on my right hand, and I lost those fingers in a car accident in 2005. Yeah, on the 405 freeway, I fell asleep, and when I woke up, the car was on top of me, and I thought I was at home because, like I said, I fell asleep and I was in a dream, I think, because I thought I was at home. I was waking up, and people were. When I kind of, you know, woke up and realized that I was not at home, the car was upside down, and I was still in it. And I opened up the door, and I crawled out onto the pavement, the asphalt, and I heard people screaming. And at the time, I was with a girlfriend, and nothing happened to her. Luckily, thank God, she had, like, minor scratches. And, man, it's just a blessing, the biggest blessing in my life that I lived, because the car was smashed and people were screaming. We both woke up. She was asleep, too. She fell asleep, and I was driving, and I fell asleep. And, you know, one of those big mistakes. And, man, I'm just so lucky to still be alive. But anyways, I looked at my hand, and it was all mangled. And people were screaming, "They're still alive." And we both were not wearing our seat, but just to show you, to tell you and the listeners and your listeners what kind of a miracle this is, that I can't believe that I lived, because we both did not have our seatbelt on. And that's the police in the background. If you hear a siren, I think they're after me. But I think I'm okay. Anyways, we both did not have our seatbelt on. And it was a Mazda Miata, a little convertible. And I can't believe that we didn't get thrown out of the car. And the biggest blessing is nothing happened to her. I mean, we're not together anymore. We're still friends, but we're not together anymore. But, man, nothing happened to her. And I'm so lucky that I didn't hurt anybody else, like, majorly, you know. I mean, a few scratches and like one or two bruises on her elbow or something. That was it. But for me, I lost most of my fingers on my right hand. I got a big hole in my right side of my head, and a big scar on my right shoulder. And that was a tough night.
How long did it take you to play music again?
Yeah, I didn't play guitar after that for a little while, because it was hard for me to even, with the finger that I did have left, I almost lost that one. And so it took me like almost a year of just trying to stretch it back so I could curl it, because it was basically stuck like in the pointing position for a little while, and I couldn't really curl it all that much. Now I'm able to curl it almost 95% all the way, like any other person, I guess, just that one finger. But I'm able to hold a guitar pick well enough to not drop it and play a whole set. So I'm ready to do shows.
That is totally inspiring, the way that you can come out of the accident and still do what you love doing. So that's awesome.
Yeah, very.
Any chance you drive a big SUV now?
No, I don't. But I probably wouldn't drive a big SUV anyways, but I wear my seatbelt now. And I try to be
all right. All right, I got Daniel laughing. I'm sorry, that was not the intent.
I know. <It's okay. laughs>
I've been a car person all my life, but I do have just one thing to add. I can relate to the, you know, waking up and you know you might have thought you were waking up in bed and you had a dream, because that happened to me. It wasn't anything traumatic, not like that per se. I was in Las Vegas, woke up. I swear I was at home in bed, but I was still in Vegas. Oh, but that's another traumatic story.
He lost all his money. That's why it was traumatic.
Yeah, I could see why that could be traumatic.
Is there anything special you'd like to do in your career? Anything special you'd like to do that you haven't done already?
You know, over the past probably like a few years I really start to fall in love with dogs. And I got three right now. And actually, I'm like kind of just babysitting two of them. You know, I've been babysitting these two for a while, for months now, but and one of them is really mine. But I really love dogs, and I would like to get myself more involved with, helping some shelters out that aren't really built well, or like they're too old, and maybe they need to, upgrade the facility so the dogs, at least while they're in there, can feel better while they're in there, so they don't, and then plus if they feel better, they'll look better, and they have a better chance to, for adoption. And, I was driving around town here in SoCal, and I started to see a lot of this NKLA. Have you seen those posters?
No.
Yeah, I've seen them like at bus stops a lot, and it's No Kill LA. And at first, I thought it was like Nike or something, right? Because NK and then LA, but then it always had like a face or a picture of either a cat or a dog. And so I guess in LA at least they are trying to not euthanize any more cats or dogs. I think that's what they're trying to do. I don't know if it's true, and I really doubt that that's true. I don't know, But yeah, there's nkla.org, No Kill LA. Yeah, free plug for them. There you go.
We should have them on one day. What do you want the world to know about you?
What do I want the world to know about me? That I'm just a regular guy that loves music and pretty much dedicated my life to it so far here. And hopefully people like, the music that I make, and they don't mind the message that I'm trying to give, which, sometimes it comes across a little harsh, maybe a little funny, maybe, not so serious, but and not all my songs are like, I want to save the world messages and stuff like that. Most of them aren't. Most of them are just about having fun and just basically just having fun. But when the serious side of me, I'd like to do some good in this world, and I guess to start. Speak what I believe is the truth about the unfairness of this world, or in this country. Like I said, never lived all over the world, so in this country, and in this town to start, right? So that.
Is there any advice you would give to somebody just starting out?
Yeah, like I said, there's some great programs that allow you to make your own beats, so you don't have to rely on saving enough money and paying producers that are just basically going to be doing the same thing, except for they learn how to use the programs. And, some of these easier programs, I would figure like Fruity Loops, I heard was a pretty easy program. Now, I think all the Macs right now come with GarageBand, but GarageBand, I'm not too sure about the quality of the sound that you're going to get. Now, I'm sure there's some guys out there that can really make it sound good, but I think there's better programs out there also just for beginners. And another advice would be like, guitar is a hard instrument to start out on, but a keyboard isn't really, and you can just kind of tap around. But what's really important is to learn theory, music theory, how music is put together. Just learn your major and minor scales and how chords are built. Chords are built from your scale. You take the first, third, and fifth note of a major or minor scale, and that's how you build a chord. Go from there, and start learning theory. Theory helps you out a lot, just understanding music and putting music together, and it's a lot of fun, and it's very satisfying to know once you know it. And if you're able to apply it to an instrument and build their vocabulary up, I mean, that's ultimate fun. And that's what I really enjoy doing. I practice 2 or 3 hours a day on my guitar, and it's just fun. It's very satisfying to be able to play an instrument.
And, 2 or 3 hours a day?
What's that?
Is it 2 or 3 hours a day?
Yeah, for the past few months, I've been trying to put a lot more practice in. For about a year and a half, I've been putting in about 3 hours every day, at least. So my dedication to my musicianship. I want to be that much better as a player. And I'm expanding my vocabulary into the jazz domain. That's what I've been focusing on. Jazz is a very hard style of music to tackle. You got to be real good to even try to play jazz correctly. You know.
It is.
Yeah, it's a hard style. But I'm getting it down. I'm starting with some standards. You know, the real book stuff and some old standards, and I'm loving it, and I'm getting it. And I can improv, and I can do the lead line. I can do all the chords and different exercises that you can do to build up your chops for jazz playing. There's a lot of good stuff on online too, like little lessons on what to do with your exercises, you know.
There is.
Yeah.
Oh, you mentioned like do more gigs. Do you have any gigs coming up to where you can let our listeners know? Do you have anything lined up?
Yeah, I do. I have one gig lined up in Westwood. Right by UCLA. It's at the Westwood Brewing Company on March 9th. That's a Saturday night. I'll be going on at 11 p.m. And I'll be doing a full set. And it should be fun. People think I get a little crazy, which I do, and kind of make it a little bit of a comical thing also. You know, I go up there, have a good time, try to make people laugh at the same time, and provide good music. And, trying to have a fun time. Some of my songs are kind of comical with the lyrics, so that's why I can get people to laugh sometimes at my shows, you know, like wow. Some pretty funny songs, too.
You say your shows can get kind of crazy? What is the craziest thing that's ever happened?
What's the craziest thing that ever happened? Well, I've only had a dozen shows, maybe a little more. And I don't know, probably up at Burning Man. My Burning Man gigs were pretty crazy. I can't really say like what crazy happened. It's just me, I kind of act crazy when I get on stage, and so basically I'm the one that's crazy on stage.
Are you going to be doing Burning Man again this year?
I might, and it just depends on my situation. I did it for the past 2 years, and it was great, and I had a lot of fun. But this year I had a hard time, or last year in 2012, had a hard time trying to find someone to take care of my dogs and stuff. And so, you know, and it just depends if I can find someone that can put it, because you can't bring any pets to Burning Man at all. It's just too hot out there.
Right.
And that's one problem, is just having dogs. These guys, you know, I gotta travel with them all the time, which I don't mind.
Right.
It's just Burning Man, they don't allow you to have any pets there, so it's kind of a bummer for me.
We have burners as a part of our following and as part of our fan base. So if you want to take a quick second to say hello to them, feel free to do
now. Oh, hello, all you burners. I'm probably seeing you running around naked. If you burners out there are running around naked, all you men cover up, because I can do without that. But all you women, you're okay. Keep running around naked.
How can people find you? I know you have a Facebook account. Do you have Twitter? How can people find you? How can people get in touch with you for guitar lessons? How can people get in touch with you to find out how to book you for a gig?
Yeah, you can go to my website, mangugumusic.com, or find me on Facebook, facebook.com/mangugu, and add me as a friend, and you know, and go from there. And my email address is on my website, or you can message me on Facebook. I really don't tweet or twit, whatever that is.
Tweet?
Twitter. Yeah, tweet. Twitter. Or Twitter. And, so I basically just use Facebook. But also, if you're interested in, like, guitar lessons, too, that's pretty cool, because on Facebook, I've posted some videos of just, like, some new licks that I did. Like, every time I come up, like, I get a new idea of, like, a new lick, I kind of post it, just kind of, like, for my own, because I'll forget, you know, sooner or later, like, what I did, and then so I can go back and review, oh, yeah, I remember that lick, and I remember that lick I did on, you know. So I keep my vocabulary going fresh. So it's not really lessons, though. You kind of got to kind of already know what you're doing to kind of, you know, see what I'm doing. It's not like a lesson. It's just me playing. But, you know, if you're good enough, you can pick up on what I'm doing and go, hey, I like that lick. Anyway, I just guitar talk there. Licks and,
So, once again, we want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Yes, definitely. Hey. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. And are we at the end?
Yeah. We just want to let our listeners know that they can follow us on Twitter at Talking With The G. And if you would like to be on our show as a guest, you can email us at talkingwiththegs@gmail.com.
And also, I would like to thank our listeners for joining Talking With The G's on BBS Radio. We're going to close the program with another song from Mangugu called Stroke.
Stroke. right. Come on, everybody, let's stroke tonight. Stroke to the left and stroke to the right. Come on, everybody, and grip it tight. The government strokes you, and so does the cops. Your neighbor strokes you, it never stops. You go to work, get stroked here too. Now it's your turn, the stroke's on you. Stroke to the right. Come on, everybody, let's stroke tonight. Stroke to the left and stroke to the right.